Season 3 of the Missing Witches podcast is brought to you by Foxglove Farm. Use offer code MissingWitches at checkout.
A quick scan of self-described New Age author Maijin Gonzalez Whipler's book titles, Return of the Angels, Dreams and What They Mean to You, and you might think she's the new ageist New Age witch we've featured on the Missing Witches podcast. But before you cry out woo-woo, if it helps, know that she has a PhD, degrees in psychology and anthropology, has lectured at the American Museum of Natural History, Columbia University, NYU, Princeton, was a science editor for the American Institute of Physics, worked for the United Nations, has written dozens of books, and, if it helps, know that she said this: I don't believe in the supernatural. I believe in nature and all things natural. Everything that happens in this world always happens through natural channels and in accordance with the immutable cosmic laws. All things, both real and surreal, are part of the cosmos where everything has a place and a reason for being. Woo-woo is a relative term, right? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people I know personally would classify this podcast or any discussion of magic or even just the word spirituality as New Age baloney. And honestly, that's okay. Whether you feel cold, comforted, or cringy when the subject of, say, angels comes up, there is a place for you here. For me, as always, I find myself somewhere in the middle. I'll be honest, I'm hardwired for cynicism, and a lot of contemporary mysticism sets off my bullshit detector, which drowns out anything even potentially useful that the guru has to say. I've been told my eye roll is audibly dismissive and judgmental, the vestigial tale of my former life as a teenage know-it-all. As I've matured, I've come to think it's a slippery slope from skepticism into arrogance. So, dear witches, as we move through Maijin's teachings, her claims that we can survive death or create a universe with a magic word, let's unfurrow our brows. Keep our bullshit detectors on as an act of critical thinking and self-preservation always, but let's keep them set to low. Just for today, let's suspend our disbelief and believe. Because Maijin wrote a book called What Happens After Death. And I like her conclusions, and I want them to be true. And because her approach to magic is so logical and matter-of-fact, she makes me believe her. In a condescending world, Maijin Gonzalez Whipler helps me believe in magic.
You aren't being a proper woman, therefore you must be a witch.
Be a witch. Be a witch. Be a witch. Be a witch. Be a witch.
You must be a witch.
I picked up Maijin's The Complete Book of Spells, Ceremonies, and Magic a while ago because it was one of the few books I found that took a more global approach to magic. And I was instantly charmed by her. Years in academia have done nothing to diminish her sense of wonder. She claims that, quote, "There's enough scientific evidence to prove the existence of a creative intelligence at work in the universe, and that magic is nothing more than cosmic energies channeled by the human mind to achieve specific goals." Isn't that wonderful? Nothing more than cosmic energies. Of course, that begs the question, what are cosmic energies? And Maijin has devoted her life to answering that question. She has written more than 20 books on religion and the occult, themes ranging from Kabbalah to Santeria, amulets and talismans to ritual magic and spell work, dreams, and death. She wrote, "I have lived a most fascinating life during which I have learned that the world we are privileged to inhabit is full of wonders and mysteries, some of which transcend our wildest imaginings. Those experiences have taught me that we live in two worlds, the world of matter and the world of spirit, which is also partly the world of mind. We have access to that other world in many ways, like dreams, flashes of intuition, meditation, illumination, and above all through our identification with nature. This planet is one sentient whole and we are all part of it. Whatever happens to it happens to us. That is why we must identify with it. You can reach out to the planet and become one with it. Keep well and stay strong. We can get through every trial if we stay strong." Picture it. Puerto Rico, 1936. My Jean is born the same year that PR gives women full suffrage, and I love this synchronicity. When people are born into a certain level of freedom and equality, this can set the trajectory of an entire life. That said, the right to vote is nothing compared to the freedom that the people of that land had pre-1492. Taino people inhabited the territory and called the island Boriken, which means the great land of the valiant and noble lord. The Taino, who are said to have come from the Orinoco River in present Venezuela, lived on the island when the Spaniards arrived, and their numbers were estimated at 50,000. The Taino were a peaceful people who lived on local crops and seafood, in harmony with the land and each other. When Columbus came upon Boriken on his second voyage in 1493, the Taino greeted him warmly. He noticed the gold nuggets in the river, and the Taino, having no real need or use for such a thing, and let's be real, gold doesn't have much use outside of capitalism. So the Taino, having no use for such a thing, of course told him to take all he wanted. This was a beautiful, if naive, gesture of generosity and friendship that would change the world forever. The ambitious Juan Ponce de Leon, a lieutenant to Columbus, was made governor, and PR, once the peaceful, plentiful Taino land of Boriken, quickly became Spain's most important military outpost in the Caribbean. It's worth sitting with Ponce here for a second, because his story illustrates, one, that invader colonizers' greed made them not only evil, but also ludicrously stupid, and two, that, as my Jean believes, magic is science. So Ponce and his colonists spent all their time gathering gold and no time planting or tending crops to sustain their numbers. Ultimately, it's been said, Ponce returned to Spain because he had too much gold and not enough food. Ponce is probably most well known as the man who went searching for the Fountain of Youth. Historians agree that this story likely isn't exactly true. Nonetheless, theories abound as to what that fountain of youth might be. Was it Bahamian love vine, brewed as an aphrodisiac? Arnie Molander has speculated that the conquistador mistook the natives vid, vine, for vida, life, transforming their fountain vine into an imagined fountain of life. Another theory is that the fountain was an earth-made spa, a naturally carved basin of lime in North Bimini, Bahamas, now called the Healing Hole. Organic tunnels feed fresh, mineral-rich water to the mineral-rich tub, calcium and magnesium having now been proven by science to increase longevity. Magic is and was science. Trial and error and discoveries more ancient than we can imagine. My Jean said, the earth is an intelligent whole, and we can all connect with it. Hurricane Maria was a deadly Category 5 hurricane that devastated Puerto Rico in September of 2017. It's regarded as the worst natural disaster on record to affect the island. On September 26, 2017, 95% of the island was without power. Less than half the population had tap water, and 95% of the island had no cell phone service. In 2018, the government of Puerto Rico quietly acknowledged in a report posted online that in all likelihood, more than 1,400 people died in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria, a figure that is more than 20 times the official death toll. A later study suggested the number was closer to 3,000, others 4,000. If you, dear witch, dear listener, are one of those in mourning, I give you my deepest, deepest sympathies and hope that you'll take some small, strange comfort in my Jean's words about death. She wrote, so far in our search, we have established the following facts. Number one, the first law of thermodynamics tells us that matter or electromagnetic energy can neither be created or destroyed. Two, neurology tells us that the brain emits measurable electromagnetic waves that can be used to identify activities associated with the human mind. Three, Many psychologists and neurologists suspect that the electromagnetic field that is the mind and can be identified as human thought processes may well function independently of the brain. 4. Jung has taught us that the unconscious part of the mind can communicate with other unconscious minds during sleep or when in an alpha state. 5. The world of the mind, called by many the astral world, is a world of images and symbols where everything is possible and nothing is surprising. 6. The astral world is the world of dreams where we travel whenever we sleep. 7. For his part, Darwin has shown us that nature preserves all that is strong and valuable. Based on these simple and well-known data, we can theorize the following. 1. The human mind is made of electromagnetic energy, and since energy cannot be destroyed, then it follows that the human mind cannot be destroyed either. 2. If the mind functions independently of the body, as science suspects, then when the body dies, the mind will continue to exist independently of the body. 3. The mind and the awareness of the personality will then exist in the astral world that we know as the world of our dreams. This is the world of symbols and images that is the culmination of our experiences and the experiences of our ancestors. 4. If nature has seen fit to preserve millions of species for millions of years, it is logical to assume that it should also seek to preserve the human mind and its great creative potential. This is supported by the fact that nature preserves that which is strong and valuable, and the most valuable thing that has ever evolved on this planet is the human mind. I'm going to cut my gene off here for a second. I'm not so sure about that last one. The most valuable thing is the human mind? I'll leave it to you. Back to my gene. According to all of this, after we die, the physical body decomposes into its basic elements, which are then recycled by nature to create other life forms. The mind, which is pure electromagnetic energy once disembodied, has no physical substance and continues to exist in the astral world, where it becomes part of the collective memories and experiences of that world. This is what's called the human spirit, the personality of an individual, and it's how we identify ourselves in the world. While the world of matter passes after we die, the world of mind, our true essence, where we rest each and every night, is the final resting place where our awareness continues to exist after the end of physical life. In other words, based on what science has to tell us, we can postulate that our personality does survive the trauma of physical death and continues to live in another world or on another spiritual or astral plane. Much of what will be presented here has nothing to do with science. It may be labeled speculation, fantasy, imagination, or spiritual insight. It is the human spirit's answer to science's unanswerable questions. Nothing we can imagine, no matter how fantastic, can come close to the spectacular designs of the universe. Also, in the last few years, astrophysicists have discovered a dark matter they believe forms about 90% of the universe. Nobody knows what it is made of, but scientists suspect that only about 10% of the universe is visible, the remaining 90% being composed of invisible dark matter. It has been speculated that these invisible particles are passing through our bodies all the time, radically altering our lives. What are they? Where are they from? Nobody knows. My gene finishes. There are many things we know nothing about. We do not know how the universe originated. We do not know what, if anything, existed before it came into being. We do not know all the laws that regulate it. We do not even know if the world as we know it is simply a figment of a god's imagination. Compared with these mysteries, the enigma of life after death, and our own puny existences seem almost an afterthought. So speaking of puny existences, I just found something out about our sponsor, Foxglove Farm, and the proprietor of Foxglove Farm, Sammy. And I found this out and I had to run to the studio to record this ad break, such as it is, because Sammy and I have gotten to know each other a little bit more personally, and I was on her Facebook, and I saw a post that she made about donating a kidney. Now, this wasn't for a relative. She donated a kidney to a stranger. So I wrote to Sammy, and I was like, did you donate a fucking kidney to a stranger? And Sammy told me, and I want to use her exact words here. She said, I literally only did it so other people would realize it's not that big a deal and do it themselves. So if you want to get some of that good, good energy that Sammy and Foxglove Farm are putting out into the world, please consider going to foxglovefarm.com. That's Foxglove, P-H-A-R-M, like pharmacy. Check out her teas. Check out her soaps. Check out that subscription box. You can get a monthly delivery from a person whose willingness to sacrifice for the greater good of the world is beyond measure. So again, that's foxglovefarm.com. Use offer code Missing Witches and please support this amazing witch. Support this witch who has found a way to make her existence a little less puny. Foxglovefarm.com. My Jean's life story began where the Caribbean Sea meets the Atlantic Ocean. So while she has written a couple dozen books on all kinds of magic, her heart and her faith belong to Santeria. Su corazón está con los orishas. If you want a primer on African Yoruba Ifa and how it begat what we now know in the West as Voodoo, Santeria, and many other names and incarnations, check out the Missing Witches Mama Lola episode from season one. Or better yet, read Ona Agbani, The Ancient Path by Iolosa Akalatunde. We'll put links in the show notes, but here's how Maijin describes Santeria. The earth is an intelligent whole and we can all connect with it. Santeria is an Afro-Cuban religion that does exactly that. All the deities of Santeria are identified with natural forces. Chango is the god of fire, lightning, and thunder. Ocean is the goddess of rivers and all sweet waters. Yemaya is the mother goddess who rules the oceans. Ogun is identified with the forests. Obatala is peace and all white substances. Okozi rules all wild animals, and Alegua is fate. If you wish to contact any of these forces, all you need to do is contact those things in nature that they represent. When you go to the ocean, see it as a mother force which can empower you and cleanse you from negative influences. That is Yemaya. Maijin wrote a partial memoir about her own experience of called Santeria called The Santeria Experience, where we learn that Maijin had a nanny whom she loved dearly and deeply. This was the person she trusted most in the world and the person who introduced little Maijin to Santeria. She wrote, "Of all the teachers I have ever had, the most influential was Maria. When I was a child, she taught me that there was an open channel between myself and natural forces, a channel that made it possible to communicate and identify with nature. Such a teaching received from a woman who did not know how to read or write. My humbling and enriching experiences in Santeria have taught me how great are my limitations, and also how infinite my possibilities. All possible through the Ashe, the power of the saints." Maijin tells of her first initiation, her first meeting with Yemaya. Little Maijin is having her fifth birthday and will be starting school for the first time tomorrow. First thing in the morning, Maria takes her on a bus to a beach Maijin had never been to before. Maijin wrote, "She took my hand and gently guided me to the water. Come, let me show you how to salute Yemaya." Lifting her voluminous skirts so that the waves would not wet them, she turned her body to the left and forced me to do the same. We both stood ankle deep in the water, our bodies at right angles to the sea. "Si, Floracita, you never entered the ocean facing front. To do so is a challenge to Yemaya. It's like saying, I'm here, come get me." So then maybe she does. "Always, always enter on your side. Better the right side. Then you say, Hakua, Yemaya, Hakua. Say it, little flower." I looked dubiously at the water. than at Maria. Like most Puerto Rican children, I had been raised a very strict Catholic, and I had the vague feeling that our parish priest would not approve of what Maria was saying. But my trust in her had been firmly established, and I did not want to offend her. "Hakua, Yamaya, Hakua," I repeated. As soon as I repeated these words, I felt relieved and relaxed, as if an unseen link had been established between the sea and myself. My soul was overwhelmed by a great love for the sea that has never stopped growing within me. I have never bathed in the sea again without remembering that incredible feeling of love illuminating my entire being. "Si, Floracita," Maria said joyously, "Yamaya blesses you. She accepts you. She will always protect you. When I am not with you at school, you will be safe. Hakua, Yamaya, Hakua." Out of our first mother, the sea. My Jean was reborn and would follow the Santeria path laid for her even long after Maria's death. The Santeria experience covers divination with coconut and cowrie shells, the process of throwing and reading patterns, rituals and ceremonies, education, and so much more, all told sweetly by My Jean and pulled from her own journey. Those of you who have been with us since season one know that I have a deep and personal gratitude and connection to Cuban Santeria. I didn't expect or plan my experience, but I believe it changed my life. Scratch believe, I know it changed my life. Maybe saved my life. I can't explain this. Does that make it any less real, though, if all I can say is something happened to me? Well, My Jean to the rescue once more with her special brand of validation. She wrote, "Many of the experiences that I have had in Santeria and that I have cited here may seem difficult to believe, but they pale in comparison to the ones I purposely did not cite, because they are completely unbelievable. The Orishas have given me love, success, money, protection, and above all, greater self-understanding and a sense of inner peace. The experiences were sometimes rewarding, others were terrifying. I was understandably happy when a special Igbo to Yamaya and Ocean made my marriage possible, but I was badly shaken when I asked Chango to stop a man from hurting my career, and the man dropped dead in the middle of a railway station shortly after. There is no way one can explain these things. They just happened." Despite the inability to explain, My Jean is able to bridge the gap between magic and science and show time and time again that magic and science are parent and child, each with so much to teach one another and to learn from one another. To embrace only one and deny the other is to miss out on that divine alchemy of thought and feeling combined to transform both. In her book, Santeria, the Religion, chapter Santeria and the Community, My Jean wrote, "Aware of the importance of Santeria in the Hispanic community, social workers and psychotherapists are turning to the Santero in increasing numbers for help in their assessment of difficult cases. A well-known Santero from the Bronx, Edward Pastoriza, an initiate of Chango for over 40 years, works on a regular basis with a psychiatrist from Bellevue Hospital. Each time a Hispanic person with a severe mental problem comes to her attention, the psychiatrist asks her patient if he or she would like to be referred to a Santero for help. The patient is invariably relieved at the suggestion and agrees rapidly to the doctor's suggestion. The psychiatrist then calls Eduardo Pastoriza for an appointment and refers the patient to him. This unusual alliance has proven very successful, and there are dozens of cases where the combined efforts of the psychiatrist and the Santero have been able to help a severely disturbed person find his or way back to society. Eduardo Pastoriza's case is only one of many unusual partnerships between Santeros and psychotherapists. In New York, some psychotherapists at both the Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center and Lincoln Hospital are actively engaged in mental therapies involving the cooperation of Santeros. In spite of the obvious social value of Santeria, it is still largely unaccepted by most American communities. The secrecy with which Santeros surround their practices is largely to blame for the antagonism facing the religion. People tend to fear what they do not know. It is not so much the animal sacrifices, the timbres, and magical practices that trouble Anglo-Americans. What is most disturbing to them is the fact that Santeria is shrouded in deep mystery, that is heavily cloaked in impenetrable silence. So much secrecy is bound to be regarded as suspicion. It is difficult for the average American person to understand the 400-year-old tradition that binds the Santero to secrecy. The rigorous oaths of silence created by the Yoruba slaves to ensure the survival of their faith are now haunting the Santero in his own bid for survival in a hostile environment. The Santeros are aware of the problem, and many Casa de Santo are trying to dispel some of the negative publicity surrounding their practices. They understand the importance of letting the world into their mysteries, but many of the elders still cling to the ancient traditions, and since there is little union between the various houses, it is difficult for the Santeros to reach a common agreement. The secrecy in Santeria also makes the religion easy prey for extortionists and charlatans who take advantage of the ignorance of the public about the practices of the Santeros and charge outrageous prices for useless implements and initiations. If the public were better informed as to the beliefs and practices of Santeria and the average costs of initiations and ibos, the dangers of extortion would be considerably reduced. Fear and discrimination are the two worst problems faced by the Santero. In Florida, a Santero who tried to build a temple in honor of Saint Lazarus, Babalu Aye, met with severe opposition from the leaders of the community. "It's possible that these people may be witches," said a reporter from the Halila Home News. Man, to this day, if you want to dismiss and demean someone, all you gotta do is cry witch. But Maijin illustrates so beautifully that the best medicine, the best healing, the best concepts, the best world comes when magical, spiritual, creative expressionists join forces with practical, organized, logic-minded lab techs. Only, and I mean only, by working together, combining perspectives and ideas, can we ever hope to solve the great mystery of being human. There is perhaps no greater vanity than to say, "There is nothing I can learn from you. There is nothing you can teach me." I love facts. I love evidence. I love technology. I love knowing. But I also love wonder, mystery, and the feeling that there is something at work in this universe that I will likely never understand. I love the idea that magical powers are there, waiting to be accessed. Poet William Butler Yeats wrote, "The world is full of magic things, patiently waiting for our senses to grow sharper." It's common for people to talk about astrology, crystals, spell work, tarot, whatever, and just say bullshit. Shut it down, it's all bullshit. And sure, that's an easy approach. It's much simpler to dismiss something that exists always just out of the grasp of comprehension and control. But people who say no, no, no are missing out on the wonderful world of maybe. And the yes, yes, yesers too. To them I say, ah, but maybe not. It is a blow to the ego, but food for the soul to know that you can't know everything, but always that you don't always have to know. And for me, being proven wrong is a gift. It means I've learned something today. Babes, a rational mind can only be enhanced by a feeling heart. So do your research, listen to the experts, then listen to your gut. Like Maijin said, the more knowledge you have, the less likely you are to be taken in by a charlatan. Faith is a beautiful thing, but we must keep our wits about us at all times. I personally believe that anyone, be they lover or guru or politician, who asks you to follow them blindly, obediently, and without question, does not have your best interest at heart. Like the fool of the tarot, we soon learn that we must integrate wonder with foresight, our two eyes working together with our third eye to complete every picture. This is how missing witches find ourselves. Let's go back to Puerto Rico real quick, because this past summer, Puerto Rico's Governor Ricardo Rosello announced his resignation after days of mass street protests. Like Maijin said, keep well and stay strong. We can get through every trial if we stay strong. Maijin is living in New York City and counts herself among those vibrant folk known as New Yorican, short for New York Puerto Rican. She had a short-lived YouTube channel, but the audio quality made her videos a tough slog. That said, breaking news! I think Maijin somehow psychically heard me writing this paragraph back in July, because on August 1st, 2019, Maijin came back to her YouTube channel with a microphone in all her red lipsticked glory. Linked in the show notes as always, but now I can definitely say, check it out. In May of 2019, at 82 years old, Maijin tweeted, "I am looking for a literary agent. Any suggestions?" So listeners, please help a witch out and hit her up on Twitter at Maijin. That's at M-I-G-E-N-E. I want to leave you with one more bit from the complete book of spells, ceremonies, and magic, first published in 1978. Despite having been written more than 40 years ago, I think you'll find it rings true today. So just for this moment, let's take a deep breath. Let's let go of the need to know, and let's just believe. Let's go with Maijin, like the fool, toward her new age. According to an ancient astrological and esoteric tradition, every 2,000 years our planet comes under the influence of a new zodiacal sign. As most of us know, the belt of the zodiac is composed of 12 different signs, which always follow the same order: Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. However, though the signs in the natal chart or horoscope appear to follow this order, their movement in the heavens seems to be counterclockwise. That is, they move back from the 12th sign toward the 11th and then toward the 10th and so on until the first sign is reached. That is why we are entering the age of Aquarius after leaving Pisces instead of going into Aries, the sign of the zodiac that naturally follows Pisces. An age is a span of time approximately 2,000 years, measured by the precession of the equinoxes. Every sign of the zodiac has special characteristics and is ruled by a specific planet or luminary. The sun and the moon are luminaries. Each sign in turn rules a determinate human endeavor and a physical characteristic of the human body. Pisces, a water sign, is ruled by the planet Neptune. Its influence as the 12th and last sign of the zodiac is one of restriction, sorrow, imprisonment, trouble, and secret enemies. It is also a mute sign. It has no voice. It is acquiescent and tends to make those under its influence pessimistic and fatalistic. It is a sign of acceptance. Curiously enough, the 2,000 years that have elapsed during the rule of Pisces started around the time of the beginning of Christianity, and for nearly 2,000 years, the world has been largely under the influence of Judeo-Christian theology, whose first early symbol was the sign of the fish. Characteristic of the sign of Pisces, Jesus Christ suffered sorrow, imprisonment, restrictions, and troubles at the hands of secret and not-so-secret enemies. Also characteristically, Christianity has been fatalistic in its mute acceptance of the teachings of Jesus, who believed man must suffer, repent, and sacrifice if he wishes to enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the influence, according to astrology, of the sign of Pisces. The strict moral overtones and puritanical ethics of Christianity are also the trappings of the Piscean Age. With the dawning of the Aquarian Age, Christianity is beginning to show slow but unmistakable signs of steady deterioration. Since Aquarius is not here yet, our era is just barely a preamble, and is not expected to be in full force for approximately another 100 years, Pisces is still influencing our planet. But with passing time and increasing mental and spiritual awareness of the race, Pisces will have to stand aside and give way to the new and golden Aquarian Age. The sign of Aquarius is the sign of friends and hopes and wishes. It is ruled by Uranus, the planet of the unexpected and the ruler of occult subjects, telepathy, metaphysics, and all psychic research. This explains the increasing interest in occult matters in modern times. It is simply the influence of Aquarius. Aquarius is an air sign, highly spiritual and vibrant, whereas Pisces is mute and acquiescent. Aquarius has a voice and is creative. Aquarius governs the organs of curiosity, invention, and investigation. It rules over electricity and electrical appliances, radio, airships, aeronautics. Though the message of Aquarius is one of hope, love, and universal brotherhood, its ruler is still Uranus, a malefic planet whose influence is generally negative and often destructive. Thus, we can look upon the Aquarian age as a bringer of hope and universal love, the promoter of great technological advances and vast increases in mental powers and psychic awareness, but also as the potential destroyer of our race. If we learn to understand the true meaning of Aquarius, we can overcome the negative forces that are an intrinsic part of the Aquarian influence and enjoy an age of great spiritual awakenings and undreamed of material success. And the only way we can understand the Aquarian message is to try to get closer together in a real universal brotherhood where there is only one creed. The creed of love, and only one race, the human race.
You must be a witch.
Season 3 of the Missing Witches podcast is brought to you by Foxglove Farm. Use offer code MissingWitches at checkout.